Well, hey, Faith Church, we are here with another pastor's panel, just continuing to explore more of our mission statement more in depth. I'm Brian Bell, joined here today with Dick Lehman and Ryan Dennis. And we're talking about the idea of how do we grow in our love for the lost as we continue to explore the idea of what it means to be on mission with Christ. How do we grow in our passion, in our love for those people around us who don't yet know Christ? I think in my life, as I look back, I can see there are definite periods of time. And a lot of them maybe overlapped and grew, but a definite distinct periods where I realized that my interaction and my contact with unsaved people was really minimal. I felt really disconnected. I was kind of deeply entrenched in that holy huddle, both when I was, you know, at Cedarville in a private Christian institution, when I was in seminary, when I was at church, I was just surrounded by church people. And so a lot of times I had to realize, and I think it was probably not uncommon, that I had to really put some effort into even having a relationship with lost people. Ryan, what do you think? What do you think keeps a lot of Christians? I don't think I'm alone in that. What do you think is one of the bigger barriers for Christians just even interacting with non-Christians?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a lot of things. I think even once you get past that initial stage and have relationships with people who aren't Christian, just kind of taking that next step to share the gospel or speak about Christ. And there's lots of challenges there. I know for myself, been a range of things from my Christian life, but things that repeatedly come back up, it seems like, are just a general fear, general kind of anxiety, you know, fear of rejection, a lack of a sense of adequacy to even do this, lack of urgency. I know for me, for those familiar with Enneagram, I'm the peacemaker on the list. So my desire in any conversation is not to have a disagreement or, you know, to find common ground on things that are even insignificant. So then when you bring in the gospel and start talking about Christ and things that, you know, can get really offensive to people, you know, that can be a challenge to overcome. But I think we all have our different kind of personality things that both are helpful in those conversations and that are also a challenge. But I think one of the big things for me is just a wrong view or correcting what successful witnessing and reaching out to the lost looks like. So successful witnessing, evangelism, what do you want to say, does not equal conversions necessarily. We pray for that. We hope for that. But success is really faithfully communicating the truths of Scripture in a loving way and helping people understand and see those things and understand who Jesus is. So an example of that, I recently met with somebody for a few months, once a week, once every couple weeks. We read the scriptures, you know, things I was excited. God was answering prayers, and it ended a couple weeks ago with him telling me he's decided he doesn't believe and he's an atheist, and no longer wants to meet with me. So as I look back on that time, you know, well, one, it's discouraging no matter how you look at it, you know, it's not something you ever want to hear, but I could look at that in two different ways. And I could see that as a failure, you know, like, man, I screwed up somehow. I wasn't persuasive enough. I didn't serve, you know, somehow my service to Christ was lacking in some way. Or I can look at it as we really read through a lot of scripture. We talked about the gospel. He understands the message of Christ and he knows what Jesus is calling him to do and demands of him. So, you know, and I think that should be seen as success, even though it ends in somebody rejecting the faith. If they clearly understand the gospel, if the truths of scripture were communicated in a loving way, I think we need to see that as success, even when the results aren't what we necessarily want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I think defining success on human terms or divine terms, you know, like what is really, who's really doing the work here if we're faithful in our side of things.
Right. Yeah. Cause we can't produce, you know, anything on our own, you know,
exactly.
We just need to be faithful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be honest. I wish more of my, distance and disconnectedness from non-Christians in my different phases of my life, had better reasons for that. But I think ultimately mine were just, it's comfortable to be around other Christians mm-hmm. who yeah. think the same way, talk the same way, act the same way. And so pushing out of those comfort zones, not in a event-based kind of thing, like, well, I have to go and do this one particular thing, but just out of that relational love for people, that takes intentionality. Dick, you know, what are some things that have kind of inspired you to step out of your comfort zone, to be willing to face some of those fears, and really develop that passion and that love in relationships with unsafe people?
Well, yeah, my mind goes back to a time when I was in college. I actually had given my life to Christ as a high school kid. So I was 17 when I gave my life to Christ. But it wasn't until I was in college when I began to grow as a Christian, and I got involved in a campus Christian ministry called the Navigators. And I think it was like in the end of the summer, just before my junior year, that I went to a retreat where I was really challenged to consider reaching out to those around me and sharing the gospel and seeing if the Lord would bless that effort in some way and actually have a person that I could disciple. And so I was so impacted by that retreat that I went to the college campus at the beginning of the school year. I walked into my dorm and hardly anybody was on the campus because the school hadn't really opened up yet with classes. And I got up to my dorm room, moving things in. And I was just so worked up about this retreat that I had that all of a sudden in my head, I heard these words, "Go to Atwood." And I thought, what? What did I just hear? And I heard the words, "Go to Atwood." Now, Atwood was a student center right across the street from the dorm that I was in. And I thought, well, okay. And I went and crossed the parking lot, walked into up to the student center, Atwood, and I saw the door was open, but it just had a single row of lights down the hallway. And so I walked into the building and there was nobody there. And I walked around the whole building and it was fairly dark, but it was open. And I thought, why am I here? What's the reason that I'm supposed to be here? And all of a sudden there was somebody behind me, tapped me on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me." And I turned around and this individual said, "Hey, I'm just a freshman here. And I'm just curious what this is all set up for." And I looked in the room and it was set up for tables for student organizations that were going to be probably making themselves available the next day for Q&A and all of that. So I explained that to him. And then I thought, maybe this is why I'm here. So I introduced myself. I shared the gospel with the individual. He didn't seem that interested, but he did give me his name and where he was staying. I followed it up the next week and asked if we could get together, and he said yes. He joined a Bible study over the course of several months as he heard the scriptures and read the scriptures for himself and thought about it. He gave his life to Christ, and I actually worked with him in a discipleship relationship for the next 2 years. And he became a best friend. And then we're still in a relationship. He's doing very well. In fact, he talks to me all the time about the discipling work that he does with people in his life out in Virginia. And I share that because that never happened again. Okay. That was the one and only time where I heard these words, "Go to Atwood." But it actually awakened in me the desire to have these kinds of conversations with people. So I have been, by the way, that experience with my friend Dennis was 45 years ago. So I actually kind of thought deeply about how do I have more of these kind of conversations with people, because I do struggle with being a little bit disconnected from the unsaved world like you guys were talking about earlier. And I decided that maybe the Lord is calling me to really live out 1 Peter 3:15. And 1 Peter 3:15 was a verse I memorized back in those days, which says in New American Standard, I said, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." So I felt like I want Christ to be Lord of my life, and I want to be ready to encounter any opportunities that I might have where I can go deeper with someone. But there's a sense in which they need to invite me in to have that conversation with them. So in the last couple of years, I can actually think of four individuals that I've had that kind of conversation with that has led to them placing their faith and trust in Christ in my counseling office. One of those individuals was actually a guy who was just walking down the hallway one day and was looking for a pastor because he had a struggle. And I just happened to be in the hallway at that moment. And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And it's led to a fruitful 2-year relationship in which he's given his life to Christ and is a follower of Jesus to this day. So I've seen the Lord do that. It just doesn't happen that often. It seems like it involves me with a heart disposition of being ready and looking for opportunities and seeing who God might bring my way for that purpose.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like, they would hear a story like that and they would, I think all of us are just like, I would love a story like that in my life. You know, I would love to be, have that kind of sense of leading and direction and see the fruit that comes from that. But I think there's still a lot of things that are holding us back in some respects. I think one of those things might be just kind of the way we've thought about evangelism and outreach from a church community standpoint is it's largely been event or program focused for such a long time. And so, you know, we might have a desire to grow in our love for the lost, and we're just waiting for the next program to help us to do that or whatever, the next event to do that. But I would encourage anybody who really wants to grow in that area of their life. I think the best way to grow in that is to let God develop that passion within us. And so in order for that to happen, we need to pray. I remember being significantly impacted by a biography of the missionary John Hyde several years ago. He was known as Praying Hyde. I believe it was 19th century. He was over in India. And he just began praying, God, give me one soul a day. One soul a day. I just want to see one soul every day. And he began praying that, and God began to work through him and his ministry, and he began to see that. And pretty soon, that wasn't enough. And he prayed for two souls a day, and then three, and then four. And sure enough, I mean, he just kept praying. And the more he prayed, the more passion God gave him to see more and more people come become Christians. And so I think that's probably, it's a little bit anecdotal in one particular thing, but you look through scripture and how many times are we commanded to pray that the gospel would go forth and that we would be a part of that? And so I think as a church, that should be our very first step. If we really want to see us as a church body grow in our passion for the lost, then we really need to begin praying that God would develop that passion within us. That's nothing that we can fabricate on our own. It goes against the pride, the selfishness, and the desire for comfort that comes with our sin nature. But if we really want to see that happen, I think prayer has got to be the number one way that we go about this. So, Dick, Ryan, thank you for joining us for this panel. Any final thoughts or comments you'd like to share before we close out?
Let me just piggyback on what you said, Brian, about prayer. I know that it's been really helpful for Susie and I to be praying for family members that we're concerned about in terms of their salvation. And we brought it up regularly in our community group. So we asked our community group to think about who are the people in their life that they're concerned about, and can we pray about these things together? So I think that's really helpful as a way of encouraging one another to really have this on our hearts and to be praying for people as well.
Yeah. Good thought. Great. I'll tell you what, Ryan, you want to go ahead and just kind of close our time in prayer and just begin that process of praying that God would develop that passion within us as a church body?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for first just calling us into your family, bringing us in. We thank you that you have loved us so well, you've cared for us so well, you sent your son to die for our sins. And that's just an amazing truth. I pray, Lord, that our response to that won't be apathy towards those outside the church, that we won't get so just caught up in the blessings and the comforts that we've received that it somehow leads us to neglect the lost. But rather, I pray that those things will stir us up just to want more and more people to taste and see that you are good, more and more people to know you as Father, and the joys that come from being in your presence, God. So would you stir us up? Would you stir up our hearts to love those in our family, our friend circles, our workplaces, wherever we might have relationships with those who don't know you yet? As Brian and Dick both mentioned, first and foremost, just to pray fervently for their salvation, to seek you daily on their behalf. And as we go about our interactions with those folks and people in general, God, is that we will have that readiness, that eagerness about us because we've been with you, because we've been in your presence, because we have a sense of urgency that we are ready for those opportunities when they come to share the good news of Christ that has been so good to us. So thank you for this time, God. We just stir up our church that we might reach out to many, many souls. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Amen.
Thanks, Ryan. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody.